Rusty Quill presents.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Previously on Planet Arcana.
Our heroes found themselves in the memories tier of the Dream Network, having just witnessed Crater and Celestine's doppels turn and run off. Now reunited within the Dream Network, communication between 13 and the crew becomes easier. However, 13 advises they will not be able to follow the party any deeper into the network. Instead, plans are made for them to enlist the help of Paragarden's Fae to distract Vlad's entourage in the waking world, allowing 13 to help Celestine, Riot, and Crater make a smooth exit once the deed is done. Our three fools make the jump to the emotions tier by each posing a question. Though only Celestine is able to hold on to the answer he receives, that the composite couple are lost, but tethered to Mesmera hot and heavy. In this next tier, the crew is able to access the emotions of others and appropriately choose Mesmera. Witnessing a moment of frustration when one of her experiments goes awry, and a moment of self-doubt when the former regent discontinued those experiments. Crater attempts to access a moment of joy, but fails, and in doing so has almost certainly alerted Mesmera to the party's prying presence. Crater's doppel surfaces once again, but this time, when it flees, Crater follows with his friends close behind. Before long, Crater's doppel is joined by Celestine's and several other unknown doppels. Together, they attack. They prove no match for our crafty crew, but as each doppel falls, each of our heroes receives a vision from the Arcana showing two different possible futures. To Riot, the devil offers control while justice offers absolution. To Celestine, the star offers a reunion with the lost, while the hanged man promises Celestine will not lose what he has. To Crater, the sun offers vitality, new life, while the moon offers a path to conquering fear and becoming whole. All each of them must do, the Arcana entreat them, is make the right choice. But there is no time for choices now, as the horizon darkens, teeming with nameless doppels, all headed straight toward our heroes.
I can hear you. I am listening. Hear the cacophony
coming from all across the Fifth Kalai.
Oh, how I miss you, my dearest darling. I miss
the clockwork,
the neon,
the networks.
Oh, these metropolises, these
verdant,
desolate biomes. Oh, the fun and games we have planned.
But always with
the promise that we are on a blinding path of success.
You will be tried.
You will be
compromised. I repeat, we've been compromised. But do not despair.
You will
see the world.
You will
know Planet Arcana.
You will find
tonight. All it takes is a friend.
All it takes is perseverance.
All it takes is a little sweat. All it takes is a key.
Deep in the emotions tier, amongst the gemtone clouds of overwhelming feelings, a moment of calm washes over you as a handful of menacing doppelgangers fall and vanish. The moment, like a wave, crashes up against you and immediately recedes as the clouds part and you see what's coming. If there was a horizon in this place, it would be completely dark with an unfathomable number of doppels racing towards you, arms outstretched. The clouds then float back and obscure your view once more, leaving you in a quiet corner of the emotions tier with only your mind's eye to imagine how many doppels there truly are and how soon they will breach your cover.
It's the end of your turn, Crater. All of you have just seen a vision of a choice, a dichotomy. Crater, I'd like you to make a constitution saving throw.
Uh-oh.
Not in the networks, please. Don't. Okay.
That's probably fine. That's an 18.
Okay. It is enough. The rolling clouds of emotion part and retreat before you, swirling into vortexes of colorful haze as they're sucked into the horizon from whence the army of doppels came. Now, the full expanse of disco ball gem-toned emotion sprawls before you, and within you unfolds a sense of emotional clarity, an opening, a way forward. All of you in this moment start to realize that as Crater has successfully regulated his emotions in the emotions tier, you feel that you're at the precipice of being able to jump to the next tier. But it is temporary. So, that concludes Crater's turn. Up next is Celestine's doppel.
All right.
Right, I forgot this guy was here.
Currently surrounded by fire, a wall of fire. A circular wall of fire is the only way I can describe it without it being weird.
I'm going to run out of the circular wall of fire. sorry. Yeah, Celestine's doppel is actually going to run up to B directly next to Celestine. And looking, like, hungry for him, he's gonna slam him.
Well, I don't like the idea of the slam, but he's a rather handsome-looking fellow, if
okay.
I do say so myself.
Okay.
Well, ask and you shall receive, because I rolled an 11, so nope, but let's try again. Oh, 19. Okay, so that's going to be 9 bludgeoning damage. And then I'm also going to have you make a strength saving throw.
All right, strength saving throw coming up. Oh, that's a big 5.
Oh, the big 5 is not going to do it. Celestine, your doppel manages to grab onto you, and you feel this longing piercing into you, and you have been grappled.
Again?
My dude.
Everybody again. Just wants to grapple me. I've got to make a concentration check, right? What is
yes,
that, half the damage
fire.
That I took?
Correct.
Okay.
Or 10, whichever's higher.
That's a pass. That's a pass. Wall of Fire's still up.
And that's my doppel's turn. That's Celestine's doppel's turn.
Yeah, that's my doppel.
Sorry.
Steal my doppel. It's not your
I
doppel.
Want one.
How many of these faceless doppels actually look like J&B?
Oh, that's God. Spooky.
A combination,
maybe? Oh, my God.
Oh, you mean the hottest person imaginable?
Yes. They're all named Jib.
Jib. Better than Beej, I guess.
Yeah, it's true.
Jib.
I like the cut of your jib.
At the end of Faceless Celestine's turn, we get to the top of the round, and what happens here is that though the clouds of emotions have parted, there's still this lingering light from whatever source, this gem-toned light. And as we enter the new round, it starts...
Oh my God, what is happening today?
God, that's got to stay in, right? That's too good.
It must. Name of the episode.
It starts.
We'd be taking off Apple Podcasts so quickly.
Oh, God.
It starts to shift around. You understand how I got how
absolutely.
I got here.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to roll a d4 for serious reasons. Okay. The colored lights move in different directions. Riot, you find yourself now in green-toned light. I am going to have you make a constitution saving throw.
Okay. 7.
Fail, unfortunately. You feel both feelings of energization and overwhelming feelings just sort of try to battle to take over you. Just due to the nature of both of them, the overwhelming sense starts to take a lead and take hold of you. You are now back. I think this is where you were here before. Damage against you is doubled until you find your way to a new light or succeed on a saving throw. Crater, you stand in this yellowish-orange light, and you too, Celestine. I'll have you both roll a charisma saving throw.
That's a 5 for Crater.
Oh, man, oof. That's also a 5 for Celestine. It hit. It was an 18 on the die, and then it rolled over. So, yes, 5.
All of you feel this sense of the negative emotions of this place trying to win your attention. Crater and Celestine, in this yellowish orange light, you are filled with a sense of confidence and self-doubt battling, and for both of you, self-doubt takes over. You are going to be subtracting a d6 to all rolls, including damage.
Oh.
And that will bring us to the final remaining doppel, unknown doppel on the battlefield.
The unknown doppel looks to Celestine and Celestine's doppel and sees that basically Celestine is taken and is going to run up and bypass them and go up between Crater and Riot and is going to level an attack against Crater.
Ooh.
14.
That is my armor class.
Okay. So you are going to be taking 12 bludgeoning damage, and then I'm going to have you roll that nice strength saving throw.
Sure. That bludgeoning is halved to 6 because I'm raging.
Oh, baby.
And then, sorry, strength saving throw?
That's right, yeah.
Which you get advantage on because you're raging. Minus a d6.
Ah.
Okay. Oh, I rolled a 6 on the d6, so that's a 14 then.
Oof, it's tough going for a second. The hands are coming at you, you're swatting them away, and they're just too slippery. They don't manage to grab onto you.
Woo.
But it's close. So it's going to try again.
Hit me with your best shot.
It's a dirty 20, so you are going to take 10 bludgeoning damage, halved because of the rage, and then give me another one. Give me another saving throw. I want it.
Can I use my slinky arms to try to deflect that?
Yeah.
Okay, so I need to roll 6 or higher. I don't. So I'll take that advantage.
Okay. All right, give me that strength save when after that.
That's a 13.
It's so close, but it doesn't quite grapple you. And that's this fella's turn.
That brings us to Celestine. Celestine, you are faced with your faceless doppel, and Crater behind you is in melee with an unknown person's doppel.
Okay, all right. So I'm minus a d6 on anything that I'm rolling.
Correct. And before you go, I'll just reiterate that you all feel this sense of being so close to being able to shift to the next tier. If you would like to, you can make your reality check here and go to the manifestations tier, but you'll be the only one who goes if you go on your turn. And that's true for everybody. You're sort of, last time you were trying to get to the final tier of the networks, you were all trying together, but now in this fast-paced environment where there's doppels coming at you from every angle, it becomes a little bit more individual. You're certainly welcome to sacrifice an action to help someone else to give them advantage, but this will be happening on an initiative basis. So you can use your turn to try to shift to do your reality check now, or you can stay here and keep fighting the doppels or whatever else you'd like to do.
I don't think Celestine goes without his friends, so I think I'll stick here for now.
Look, fella, you may look like me, but you ain't me.
And Celestine casts Thunderwave on his doppel. So you go ahead and make a save.
Cool. Okay. What kind of save?
A constitution saving throw.
It's a 7.
That's going to fail.
Oh.
So not only are you going to take 2d8 thunder damage, but you're going to get pushed 10 feet back into the wall of fire.
Yeah! Okay. So, wait, so how much damage?
Okay, so that was 12 damage, but minus a d6 is... So 6 damage, 6 thunder damage, and then the thunder wave knocks you 10 feet back into the wall of fire, which gets me out of the grapple.
Mm. Oh, cool.
Mm. And then, because this is the first time you've entered it on your turn, I don't believe there's another dex saving throw. I think you just take 5d8 fire damage.
Oh, oh my god. Light him up.
Gracious.
I would say you don't have to minus a d6 from this, considering it's an existing wall of fire. It's
awesome.
Not something you're currently actively doing.
Jay. So that is 21 damage.
What a generous god.
You will remember my benevolence.
Oh, it is just so messed up looking in this wall of fire.
You see Celestine just stare into his own faceless face, squint his eyes a little bit and grit his teeth, and just kick out with his cowboy boot. Wave of thunder knocks this fake Celestine back through the wall, and as far as I'm concerned, he's gone.
Oh.
And then I'll just move a little bit so that I'm near Crater and in the yellow light.
Okay, now that you've moved, you can make another charisma saving throw.
All right. That is a 14.
14 succeeds. Pushing your own doppel back into the fire gave you this sense of accomplishment. The self-doubt now turns to self-confidence. You can now add a d6 to all of your rolls.
Ooh, well, I like that.
And is that's the end of your turn, correct?
Oh, you know what? Actually, I'm sorry. That was an action. I have a bonus action. I'll fire at Crater's doppel with my light gun.
Cool.
There is no Crater doppel.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, the doppel that is engaged with Crater is what I have to say.
Jib.
All right, and I can add a d6 with this, right?
Yes, you can.
Yes. I'm firing at Jib.
Do not confuse Crater for Crater's doppel. If you just accidentally shoot me in the back of the head, that would really suck.
Yeah.
That's a 32 to hit.
Oh my god.
Let me just check. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I get a d6 on this damage roll as well.
Oh yeah, baby.
18 radiant damage from my light gun.
Wowzers. Riot, you're up. You watch Celestine push his own doppel into the fire and then shoot this doppel that's standing between you and Crater.
Yeah. Okay, I got my eye on this little fucker. I see his weakness with Celestine's attack. I'm bathed in green light, and I just want to take one little sidestep into blue light to see what happens.
You will take an opportunity attack from the doppelganger to do
Fuck.
That. Is that okay?
I don't want to do that.
Okay.
Okay. All right. In that case, I'm going to stand perfectly still, and I'm going to just make an attack on this Doppel that's next to Crater.
Sick.
You should have advantage.
Thank you.
For flanking?
Yes.
Sure. I'll allow
Sick.
It.
Sick. Okay. All right. That's a 22 to hit. I get, sneak attack, and I've got Branding Smite.
Yes.
And going to use my eye.
Oh, my gosh.
Calculator?
Do your math.
Yeah.
I'm so scared.
37 damage.
Oh my god.
Oh no. How do you want to lay Jim to rest?
Rest in peace.
Okay.
How do you
want
to cut this Jim?
Oh, no, that's so much better.
Oh man. Okay, I'm gonna just be standing oh so still. Bathed in the green light, got my eye trained on this motherfucker, and because of the branding smite, my gun starts to radiate with kind of an astral radiance as I pull it up to my eye and blast my shots into the ether, and that goes through the Doppel's neck, and it falls, crumples to the ground.
Elegant.
Long may your big jib draw.
There you go.
Wow. Lots of headshots from you in this combat, and I'm here for it.
I never get tired of seeing you do that, Ms. Ryan.
Thank you. I just love it. That's my passion.
Headshots.
Would you like to move?
I think now I will. Yeah, I'd like to move into that that blue... Actually, I'm going to go over with Crater... and Celestine here.
Nice.
As a little a little unit.
You enter this yellowish-orange light. I'd like you to make a charisma saving throw for me.
Okay.
I think you're the only one who's pretty good at these.
Okay.
I have charm.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's a 15.
Okay. You as well are filled with self-confidence like your allies standing right next to you, and you too can also add a d6 to all of your rolls.
Yay!
This is a very good position for you all to be in as you see the sea of Doppels heading towards you, and you can feel yourself on this precipice of being able to move to the final tier of the networks. That will bring us to Crater's turn. Crater, it's been around since we last checked in with your constitution saving throw. And last time, as you succeeded on it, you felt and saw the clouds parting, and you felt the almost like the veil to the next tier. It's so close. But as we get back around to your turn, the window is closing. If you'd like to make your reality check now, you can do that. Otherwise, at the end of your turn, you're going to have to make a constitution saving throw. And if you do not succeed on it, you won't be able to make your reality check next turn.
Okay. Am I able to move?
Yeah, yeah. And as the Doppels run towards you, you guys can take a second here to talk it through.
Okay. Sorry, I was asking that because I failed my yellow roll last time, so I still have a -6 to all my rolls at the moment.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, you can move further into the yellow light to try to gain, get a better step of confidence instead of self-doubt, if you'd like.
Sure, I would like to do that, yeah. So I'll run and just... join this little triangle.
Of Celestine and Riot?
Correct, yes.
Perfect. Make a charisma saving throw for me, please.
That's a 6.
Fuck.
Okay.
The self-doubt remains. What would you like to do with your turn?
I don't think we can take this sea of Doppels that's coming towards us at this moment. I'm not really primed for this, but I... let's try to jump, I guess.
I'm with you, Crater.
Yeah.
The reality check is to remind yourself that you are in the networks and not in the waking world. So this is a check that's up to your own interpretation. You can choose whichever skill you like. You can choose a saving throw. You can choose an attack roll. Any roll that you feel fits what you're trying to do. And basically, you're just trying to remind yourself that this place is a little stranger, a little more bizarre than the waking world. And it doesn't quite work the same way that you're used to. And just whatever check you want to make to remind yourself of that, that this is not your usual world.
I think to try to remind myself that I'm in the networks, I'm going to pull out my immovable rod.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to just hold it out in front of me, and I'm going to flick the switch to the anvil symbol. So in theory, it locks in place. And then can I make an athletics check to try to move it, even though like that should be impossible if it's locked in place.
Oh, hell yeah.
I think that's a great idea.
Okay.
And you're still raging.
I sure am still raging.
So you would have advantage. You do have a d6 minus off the result, but you at least you have advantage.
Okay. Here I go. 19 minus 3 equals 16 plus 8 equals 24. So I'm okay.
Yay!
Oh my god. That's incredible. You jump into the next tier. You feel like you're almost getting pulled through the clouds, and the colors are all sort of like rushing towards you, and you're filled with every possible emotion as you get sucked back in. I will describe your benefits when everyone gets to the other side. But that is Crater's turn, and we come back to Celestine's Doppel.
Oh, shit. Oh.
What do I need to do here in this fire?
You're good. As long as you don't end your turn there, there's no more effect.
Marvelous. Okay. Well, guess what? It's going to run out of that ring of fire once more. running right back up to you. It seems like almost sad this time as it's going to reach out and make a slam attack.
This guy just won't quit. I kind of admire his determination.
So it's a 19. So you are going to take 9 bludgeoning and then give me that strength saving throw.
Okay, strength saving throw first. That is a 15.
Ugh, it doesn't work. You are not grappled, but you're going to get slammed again.
Okay, hold on one second here. I'm just going to check on my concentration. Yeah, okay. Wall of Fire is still up.
Okay. That's a 21, so you are going to take 8 bludgeoning damage and 1 more of those strength saving throws, please.
That is a 14 on the strength saving throw.
Why are you so strong?
He's fighting a weak opponent.
Hey, I heard that, Crater. I don't know where you are, but I heard that.
Here. Crater's astral voice flows over.
I'm getting roasted from another tier.
Oh, and you are indeed, but so is your Doppel. It looks so frustrated. It wants to grapple you, but its turn is over.
I think it just needs a hug. It's just trying to hug me.
Yeah, give it a go.
At the top of the round, the colors shift again.
I wanted that D6.
Celestine and Riot, you both find yourself in this red light. Mm. I am going to ask you to make strength saving throws. You still have the D6 for this final roll.
Oh,
this,
okay. Well, I don't think it's going to make a difference, but 13 on my strength save.
And I got 14.
14. Okay, both of you just barely succeed. The two feelings that are battling for your attention here are love and anger, and love takes over, which is kind of nice.
Yay.
All attacks against you have disadvantage.
Wonderful. Yay.
I think Celestine reaches out and, like, grasps Riot's hand in that moment, and that's what makes the difference.
Precious!
You each hold each other's hand as you watch 6 more Doppels breach this corner of the tier.
Oh, no. And they appear right in the middle of the wall of fire. Yeah?
They're running towards it. There's a lot of them, and they're sort of in formation, so you never know what could happen. Actually, B, do you want to roll 2 different initiatives for them?
Okay. 24 for one, 20 for the other.
Jesus.
I know, I've got hot dice.
Hot dice. So, 3 of the Doppels run towards you. They're going to get a move before you have a chance to act.
I wish I was here.
So these first 3 Doppels are going to roll up and flank Celestine's Doppel, essentially creating this formation in a straight line that impedes, but like between Riot and Celestine and the other 3 unknown Doppels. Starting with the one on Riot's side, we're going to roll a couple slams.
These have disadvantage on us, right?
That was a crit fail.
Yes, and they all have disadvantage. That's correct.
That was a 14 for the second one, a disadvantage.
That's my armor class.
Oh, baby. Okay, so you are going to take 5 bludgeoning damage and give me a strength save.
Okay. 10.
It fails, and you are grappled. And having grappled you, this very delighted unknown Doppel is going to try to... It's like it's giving you a big hug, but it feels bad. Ugh. 11.
No, it does not hit.
Okay, well, the hug is interrupted by, like, a firm no.
No.
It goes in for a hug, and then Riot's just got that, like, rigidity to her that you know when somebody's not really there for the hug, you know? And the guy's all right, sorry.
Not here for the hug.
The other Doppel sort of, like, smacks the hands of that Doppel's hug away, and it's gonna shoot its shot with you now. But with, like, a slam. It's opening with a slam.
Hey, baby. How you doing?
Hey.
It's an 18 to hit, so yeah, you are going to take...
And that's a disadvantage, right?
Oh, fuck. Yeah, it's an 18 to hit.
Okay.
12 bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
And strength save.
It's a 15.
It does not grapple you, so it's going to slam you again.
Mm.
11.
Nope.
Oh, no hug this time. But we're going to now move on to the Doppel that is by Celestine, the unknown Doppel, standing right next to his own Doppel. It's going to slam you. And this is disadvantage too, right?
Yep.
Yep, they all are.
It's a crit fail, and hey. we're gonna try again. One was a nat 20, the other one was an 11, so I'm assuming no
Not
hugs.
Gonna cut it.
No wow. hugs. Holy shit. Okay, well.
Shutting them down.
Those are the three Doppels. There were a lot of awkward attempts at hugs, but ultimately to no avail.
That's incredible. Okay, before the next set of Doppels goes, Celestine, you have a turn here. If you'd like, you can try to make the reality check as well.
Ms. Riot, if I try to follow Crater, are you gonna be all right?
I turn and take his other hand as well in mine and say, go.
Celestine definitely tears up a bit. But yeah, I'll make the reality check. Now, you said it could be any kind of roll. This is kind of bullshit, but can I make an attack roll on myself? Isn't that like the best way to remind myself that this isn't real? I'm shooting at myself. This is absurd and it's nonsense. So wouldn't that definitely...
kind of like a pinch.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that's so true. Pinch me.
Can I use my bonus action light gun? Or do you want me to use my whole action here?
No, this will be your whole action because you're actively trying to remind yourself, and it won't actually do damage because it's wacky. It'll just take you to the next tier.
Okay, before I go then, bonus action healing word on Riot.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, that is 9 hit points.
Whoa.
Amazing. Thank you.
And then I'll make this attack. That is a 17 on the dice, and if I'm using my, like... light gun spellcasting modifier, it's like 28.
That was your reality check?
Yeah.
Oh my god, okay. Celestine, you too get sucked back through the light, the gem-toned light of feelings and emotions, and they overwhelm you too, and you find yourself pulled to the final tier. Riot, with your initiative of 19, you almost get to go right after Celestine, but these Doppels rolled a 20 just right before you. They're going to take your moves before you can go.
Yeah, indeed. It's a bleak situation, but the good news is that these Doppels were the ones that were farther away from you in formation, so let's see. They can just...
Oh, that looked like that one went through the Ring of Fire.
It certainly did. So it's going to try to get as close to Riot as it can, and in doing so, it crosses the Ring of Fire and ends its turn there. And driven by an equally desperate desire to hug, the other one runs through the Ring of Fire, but and ends up right beside it. It's going to go in a straight line. The third one just bypasses it, and it has, like, now a straight shot view of Riot for next turn. So they are encroaching in a big way.
But two Doppels end their turn there, so what's the D?
The first one took 16 points of fire damage. There's no more dex save. And then the second one took 23 points of fire damage.
Jesus.
Yikes.
Luckily, those Doppels were just far away from you, Riot. Just too far away, they couldn't attack. You're faced here with six Doppels and Celestine's Doppels still. They all face you, arms outstretched, walking towards you. You have a chance here to make your reality check to join your friends.
And I am going to. Okay, I feel my body, knowing it's not my real body. And I notice that there is no pain. And there's a little ping in my head because I know in the real world, I know that I've been putting off repairs for a long time. I've been using the shit out of my body. I haven't been good with keeping up on maintenance over the last little while. It's just fallen by the wayside. I have had pain. I've noticed some of the parts that need mending. And I've been kind of lying to myself. I've been, like, tricking myself in my head in the real world that that's not happening, just to get through to the next. And I am going to relish in this lack of pain for a moment and continue that deception on myself. And I'm going to make a deception roll, if I may.
Oh, cool. I love that.
Very cool.
Fool.
Okay, that's 18.
It is enough.
Oh, man.
You, too, get sucked back through the clouds and into the final tier of the Dream Network.
Oh, baby.
Jeez.
Okay. Before we get into descriptions, Crater and Celestine, do you each want to roll 2d10 for me?
I think I do.
Yeah, that was less of
yeah,
a...
Yeah. You do.
That was a rhetorical question.
I got a 6 and a 10.
Okay, so 16.
I got 2 10s.
Oh my god. Wow.
Okay, so let's start with Riot. As you get sucked into the final tier, you feel inspired. You will gain a D6 of inspiration to use on any D20 roll of your choosing for the next 24 hours, and you can use it after you roll and after you see the result, but before you find out whether it succeeds or fails.
Okay.
So you get a little D6 of inspiration to use.
Thank you.
Crater, you rolled 20 on your 2d10s. You get 20 temporary hit points.
Oh, yeah, baby.
I know.
Celestine, you rolled 16 on your d10s. You get 16 temporary hit points, but because you rolled above a 25, you additionally get advantage on wisdom saving throws for the next 24 hours.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
And we find ourselves in the manifestation tier.
Wow.
The final tier of the Dream Network brings a sense of harmony after the oversaturation of emotion. The gem-toned lights shine and fade in a pleasant rhythm. Feelings of anger are balanced here by passion, sadness balanced by serenity. Finally, you have reached the manifestation tier.
How are we all doing? How are we all feeling after that little encounter?
Relieved. That could have gone a lot worse.
Yeah, what the hell was that horde of doppels that was running towards us?
They're so huggy.
I think this is one to maybe contact Snowshoe about and see if he has any insight as to what it was that we just looked at.
I agree, yeah.
You know, I'm kind of regretting telling 13 that we'd be out in an hour. I think we're probably cutting it pretty close here to our time limit. I think we gotta try to power through this last tier as quick as possible.
Yeah. Let's move.
Does this mean then that we are not gonna rest a while?
I don't know if we have time. Like, you know, it was all fun and all when we hopped into bed with Vlad to jump in here, but we are in bed with Vlad at the moment. We're a little vulnerable outside of the networks here.
All right, that is a fair point. Then before we move on, let's all just huddle up with me a moment, and Celestine reaches out for both of them, and I'll use a mass cure wounds on us.
Oh, hell yes, thank you. Crater was not good.
Oh boy.
We all get 16 points of healing.
Nice.
Wow.
Sweet.
Wow. Thank you.
It's not much, but it'll hold us for a while.
Yeah, I'm sure we're not going to fight anything down on this tier.
As Crater says that,
relationship.
Amidst the settling emotion, you turn around as Crater delivers that perfect segue line, and you behold it. Vlad's Dream Network mansion has also manifested in the manifestation tier. A striking likeness and yet utterly distinct from the mansion your bodies are sleeping in at this very moment. The spires are higher, the archway is grander, rich red light emanates from within, and the gargoyles that line each edge and flank each elegant buttress, well, they appear less classically gargoyly and more caprine, with long curled horns. And, strung like piano wire, several golden threads lead into the open mansion doors. They look rough, tarnished, coated in ichor.
Sorry, Jay, is there also a floating grandfather clock that is chiming ominously?
Oh my god, that's going to be so dated by the time it comes out.
Well,
shall we?
Came here for this reason, yeah.
Well, let's just take a quick look at whatever this ichor, this slime is. Can we get a closer look and kind of, I don't know, like what the hell is this shit?
Yeah, make a perception check.
Can we
Anybody
all?
Goodness, can if they'd like to.
That is an 11.
That's an 11.
12.
Yep, that's ichor.
Well, sure
it tastes funny.
Don't put that on your mouth, Celestine. Oh. Come on.
And his poison and dies for the second time this, today. That's it. That's the end of the story. Thanks, everybody. I think even with those middling roles, these are threads. You know what these are. You found one trying to find Scavenge. It's people's threads, but they just look, they almost look sick, like ill. Mm. Not in a cool way.
Sure. Threads look sick.
Yeah, ill.
Would you say it reminds you of like Ursula's souls from The Little Mermaid kind of thing? Without the faces.
Whoa. Thank you, yes.
Cool.
Thank you, absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
Is there like a golden one? Like one that's like still pristine? Or are they all blackened with this ichor?
They are all golden threads, in fact, but they're all coated in this ichor.
Now, as far as position, do we possibly believe that Vlad's could be in his position equivalent?
That's at least a good place to start.
Okay. Maybe we proceed, don't touch anything for now?
Yeah, let's try to avoid any of these threads until we suss out which one potentially is Vlad's.
Yeah, agree.
Okay. Into the spooky manor.
You all suddenly hear a clip-clopping coming from the mansion's entranceway. And as you look towards the sound, it's totally ludicrous. It's a little goat wearing a little red and black checkered tie, Dickies brand. Its matted hair hangs over its eyes almost as though by intention, and its horns are striped black and red. A waft of Dolce & Gabbana drifts over. It clomps a hoof at you and snorts, its rectangular pupils contracting. It seems to be daring you to come inside.
Can I shoot it?
Raya, you level your gun at this goat and shoot it, and as you do, it just bursts into that ichor.
Oh, great.
You exploded a goat.
Okay, oop, yeah. Oop. Wow, that was a lot easier than I thought it was going to be.
I just, reacted.
Thanks, Riot.
Yeah, no problem. I wasn't expecting that to really just pop off like that, so good to know.
Ashes to ashes, ichor to ichor.
Goat to goat.
Sick.
Shall we?
Yeah, let's just barrel in. If it's just goats that take a single shot to explode, I think we're going to be A-okay trying to kill Vladimir down here.
Yeah.
All right, so progressing towards the mansion front.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can I take a moment to reload?
Yes.
While we're walking through the mansion?
Good idea. So you walk towards this mansion, the front doors are open, and you walk the few front steps up, and I'll just describe this place. This mansion is almost floating in the air. It's floating amongst color. There's no street here. There's no walkway to walk up towards it. It's just a purely manifested mansion. It's a little spooky.
Spooky.
We get to the front of the mansion. Would you like to step in?
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, bro.
Hell yeah, bro.
Before you do, you hear a clip-clop from behind you. You turn around. Another goat stands there and cocks its head.
I turn around. I whip my javelin at it.
Explodes.
Explodes.
And I assume you gather your javelin.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. One more goat down. You step into the mansion where before the regal wallpaper was peeling in places, it now looks freshly applied. The scuffed and faded wall sconces are now freshly polished and gleaming. Taking in your surroundings, you note further differences, like the occasional coat of arms and additional portraits of Vlad engaged in various heroic feats. Here, he rides a dragon. There, he engages in épée against three foes at once. But the most alarming difference is the near constant movement of everything in sight. Doors shift positions, sometimes bumping into each other on their paths as elsewhere. The stairs momentarily look like an escalator before they flatten into a steep slide, and hallways appear and disappear, sometimes even in the ceilings and floors. Despite the ever-shifting mansionscape, it's eerily quiet in here. No goats to be found.
I mean, should we try to look for the basement? Where we think Vlad is right now?
We could try and find the equivalent space that we went through last time, that hole in the floor.
I think we should know where that is in this house, because we went there in the physical world too.
Mm-hmm. You look around and try to orient yourself in this house to try to figure out, and when you went in the waking world, it was simply the next room after the room that you came into. Here, there are rooms coming off of this central room, but you look to one and then the hallway shifts to the other side of the room and then sort of like slides down the wall onto the floor and glides across and then appears on the ceiling.
Is there any way for me to like use the Medallion of Thoughts again to kind of like glean what direction Vlad's is coming from specifically, since I heard it before?
Make a perception check for me.
Okay.
And describe, like, are you moving around in here or just kind of like staying in the entrance and listening?
I think staying in the entrance and listening might be best just for sake of not getting lost and kind of trying to get bearings. That's 16 perception.
Okay. And I will say again that this isn't how detect thoughts is supposed to work, but I think it's really cool. So anybody who's listening can
eat it.
We do appreciate you, though.
Yeah. We do. Thank you so much for listening. But also,
you'll enjoy what you eat. Yeah.
And if you are enjoying what you're hearing, we have a Patreon. www.patreon.com/patreon.
The link to the Patreon floats across the room momentarily.
Oh my god. You can see it. Ryan's just like, that's the weirdest thing. I don't know what that means.
But it's good, right? It's totally worth.
Yeah, it seems awesome.
Worth checking out, I think.
I wish I knew what that was to jump on it. Seems like a good deal.
Oh, I don't even have to put an ad in this episode.
No.
Oh, God.
The ads get more insidious as the campaign goes That's on.
Right. Fourth wall breaking ads. So good.
I do wish that I had something to listen to when we were on a long drive.
Oh my fucking God.
What about getting a postcard in the mail every month?
Okay. Oh, that would be delightful. No one sends physical mail anymore.
We have to stop this native advertising.
Okay, so you listen again with your Medallion of Thoughts, and once again, you hear the buzzing. I mean, all of you do here. It's totally surrounding you. But Riot, you almost feel like you can maybe put a little bit more of a direction to it, but it is crowded in your mind with all of the sounds around you now. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of sounds of sort of hard to place voices, almost speaking gibberish because of how overlapping and constant and frequent they are. You're having a hard time with that perception check narrowing in on any of the actual words that the voices are saying, mm-hmm. but you are getting a sense of the feeling from some of them. The most prominent feelings that you're hearing with this Detect Thoughts amulet is sort of feelings of admiration and feelings of longing. And they seem to be coming from different directions in this ever-shifting room.
But nothing from below.
You can hear the buzzing, but aside from that, it's just a crowded mess of noise.
Okay. All right. That did not help.
I think this house is ever changing here. I think maybe we just pick a direction and stick with it.
Yeah.
Or we could split up.
No.
I certainly do not want to split up. That we were separated only momentarily just now, and that was terrifying to me.
Fair enough.
Yeah. DMs, when we were in the digital network, we followed Scavenge's thread. Can we follow these other ichor-laden threads?
Ooh. Yeah. Actually, as you walked up into the mansion, they sort of are almost like a network of pipes or wires or something like that, like cascading through the house from every direction. A lot of them, like I described, piano wires, like very taut. It looks similar to like a laser field in a spy movie that you'd have to like crawl through. Mm.
How does this thrallhood work? Like, are they all kind of like hooked up to Vlad, like a bunch of wires?
That's kind of Yeah, that felt like maybe that might be a possibility.
Maybe we just pick one and see where it goes.
Yeah. The way things are changing, bound to end up in most places with a search anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
What about that one?
That I was going to point the same one. Let's follow that one.
That's so funny. I was thinking the exact same. It's we are just so connected.
I love it.
You all start to walk towards the same door knowingly. And as you do, another door sort of like screeches around the corner and knocks into the door that you were about to go to. And these two doors sort of sit next to each other. And Riot, those feelings sort of amplify here. From one door, this feeling of longing, and from the other, admiration.
I'm gonna pitch to the group, let them in on the longing versus admiration thing. My initial thought is the longing, just from being zapped of energy and like personal sovereignty. So being like attached to Vlad. But open to interpretation here. What do you two think?
I have to assume, because everything is connected to this in some way, like the two arcana that are speaking to you, one is the other. If you trust one more than the other, I think follow your gut.
Oh, like that kind of thing. Okay. Yeah, okay, let's go with admiration then, just because.
I mean, if you want to go longing, I'll gladly back you up. That was your initial reaction.
But that was a different context. I think if it's the context of what I've seen in my mind's eye, I do not want anything to do with that guy. So let's go admiration.
Yeah, let's admire you.
You open the door where you're getting this sense of admiration. And within this room, the ever-shifting wallpaper continues. But rather than doors and hallways, it's a contained space, shadow boxes, portraits, and like small tables kind of loop in a pattern around the edges of the room, each containing various pieces of memorabilia, ephemera, collectibles. And even upon a momentary glance, you recognize that all of these pieces are Patricia Tremolo memorabilia.
What does it mean?
Anybody who wants to can roll me an investigation.
Yes, yeah, please.
I'm gonna do that.
Nat 20.
Oh my god. Okay, Crater, with that, you sort of notice that like there's one item that isn't like rotating. It's on its own pedestal and like underlit, like it's an item in a museum. And approaching it, it is a playbill with a header that has Patricia opening for Vlad at some, you know, nondescript, undescribed show. And I think continuing that Studley role, you might be able to intuit that, like, this is a manifestation of Vlad's, like, ultimate inspiration.
Oh,
so, like, this isn't necessarily true. This is, like, what he wants. Like, this is what he desires for his life. It's like a fantasy.
I think that's a fair assumption. Yeah, this is his manifested version of the mansion in the manifestation tier. And these are manifestations.
Oh, beautiful.
That's kind of sad.
Yeah. Wait, why is it sad?
Having dreams is sad.
I don't know. He's never going to get big enough that Patricia will open for him. Like, Patricia's a huge star. I'm not sure. Like, I think she's past the opening act stage of her career.
Yeah. I am, though, all of a sudden, incredibly worried for Babera if Vlad happens to know their parentage.
Oh.
Well, what now?
What would you like to do?
Sorry, is there a means to, like, do something with, like, move forward from here? Like, is there another door?
I think perhaps upon wondering that, a couple of additional doors come crowding through the memorabilia, pushing their way through and landing concretely on either side of this manifested playbill.
You get that same sense of longing, and beside it, another door with a sense of fear.
Mm. Well, first off, should we grab that playbill in case it comes into use? Or do we just leave it?
I mean, it wouldn't hurt just to take it with us.
Yeah, I say.
Yeah.
Crater, just because I'm getting some fear vibes here, and you know, my knowledge is a little rusty, but I seem to remember that the moon had a little bit to do with that. I feel like I can't solely make the decision for the whole group in good faith here. So basically, with those weird hallucinations that we've all been seeing, I've been seeing the devil, and I've been seeing justice. Justice is the sense of admiration that we chose on the last run, and then I can only assume the devil to be this longing sensation. So basically, choosing between the devil and the moon here isn't great, given our history with the both of them.
Well, when we entered the admiration area, we got a sense of someone that Vlad admired. We got to know a little bit more about Vlad and that aspect of him. If that is true for these other doors, then do we want to know what he longs for, or do we want to know what he is afraid of?
I'd say afraid. But are you okay, Crater, with that that realm?
That's why we're down here, to figure out stuff like this.
All right, let's go with the fear.
You open the door where that sensation's coming from, and you find another smaller door with a sign on it that says, "Do not open, evil inside." But before you can even decide whether or not to open, your intention opens it. And inside, a Boston Pizza manager-looking office. Messy papers and schedules, the desk and chair, but this time, the room is occupied by scores and scores of cats, little kitties and kittens playing, napping, and purring. And amidst them, with one in her lap, sits Chrissy.
Yes.
However, it is odd. Upon even momentary scrutiny, it's clear this version of Chrissy is not quite right. To begin with, there's no golden thread in sight, but more so, it's as though she's been drawn by a composite artist based on a detailed description of the real deal. There's something uncanny valley about it. Mm-hmm. And as you enter, she goes,
Oh yeah, look, I know what you're gonna say, but I couldn't give you the last true name, okay? I know you've been an intern for 3 years, but I just really needed this one. Next time.
Oh my God, he was a low-level employee of Chrissy at one point.
She created him.
She did. All right, I have just had a chilling thought. If we discover how to defeat Vlad, if we discover how to kill Nosferatu, which is something that Chrissy has said she does not know how to do, and then we return to Chrissy, having accomplished this task, we would be the only people that would know how to kill Chrissy, and that makes us very dangerous to her. So what's to stop Chrissy from killing us first?
Yeah, starting to feel like maybe we don't go back to Chrissy after this. Or maybe we kill her too. I don't know.
well, we'll know how to do it.
Exactly. We'll just do it immediately.
I mean, I feel like that's a bridge we'll cross when we come to it.
Yeah.
Was Vlad Fellows pretty bad himself?
Yeah.
Let's kill one name, sir, at a time, you know?
Right.
But yeah, we're probably going to have to kill Chrissy.
Yeah, for sure. But you're right.
So
back burner.
I know.
Okay. Would you like to manifest a way forward?
I suppose, yeah. Should we take a kitten? No. We can't bring it to where we're going.
Celestine already had a kitten in his hand. Yeah. All right.
We'll just leave this here. Yeah, my little
it
kitty.
Looks sad.
No.
Yeah.
No.
They're all doing the headbutt thing against your legs.
Oh.
Maybe we just stay here just a little while.
That's really
nice. They seem so lonely.
What a weirdo.
Hey, yeah, they're really nice cats.
this one's eyes are so cute. They're all green.
They like you because you're warm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we're on a time limit. Okay, let's go.
Okay. Sorry.
Manifest door.
Yes.
Two more doors manifest. They sort of like start on opposite walls on the side of you and then move themselves to be in front of you, and they bonk into each other
as they meet in the middle. As you walk forward, you feel, again, that sense of longing from one, and from another, a sense of disgust.
Right. I know you're trying to avoid the longing, but like there's some connection with the devil and Vlad. Like there's goats that were kind of protecting this place, or at least they're here.
No, you're right. You're right. Fuck. Yeah, let's do it.
Only if you're comfortable.
Rip the Band-Aid off. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
Oh, we're doing it. We're doing it. We're ripping the Band-Aid off. You opened the door to that feeling of longing. And beyond it, beautiful, soft, colored light. It's a beautifully lit room with seats facing towards the front in rows. Long wooden seats. Pews, even. Facing toward an altar, draped in light from many stained glass windows. The stained glass itself portrays two figures in an intimate embrace. One is very clearly Vlad, with flowing blonde hair and mustache, and the other, a human man. He's familiar, with a slicked back, black hair, bright red eyeshadow, and a small, ornate beard. Above them runs the text, "Speak famous last words," and echoing through what you realize is a chapel, you hear, "I brought you my true name, and you brought me your love, 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 love." And it echoes throughout.
Do we recognize that voice?
Yeah, it's Cokes.
Wow.
And that inscription is the same inscription as was on the door to Vlad's room.
Yes.
Is there a door that could manifest under that "speaks famous last words" that looks like the one we walked through?
As you say that, you see a metal door start to sail its way across the floor and then bend and curve upwards to be on the wall next to another more plain door. And they stand at the opposite end of the chapel from where you walked in.
Are we getting any feelings from them?
You're a bit far. You just have to walk in.
Let's walk over, I guess, if everyone's good with that.
Is there anything here that is like, I don't know, like an item, a piece of something that's kind of like emblematic of their relationship, a token, something like that, something I could pick up and take with me?
Yes, indeed. As you move through and behold these two doors, roll me an investigation.
14.
On the altar, you find a glass of Caesar. And picking it up, something within clinks.
What's in the Caesar?
Is it even really a Caesar, or is it just one of those sad clamless Caesars that they were serving at the party?
You can't even get a hint of clam when you smell that sucker. But
really want this, but...
Do you want a salt headache or don't you?
But there does seem to be something in the glass.
I'm not drinking this thing. Can I fish through it? Can I fish through the glass?
Yeah, you fish through it with your little fingies, and out comes a wedding ring.
Ooh.
It's all covered in tomato juice.
Sure is.
Is there any engravings on it?
Yes. On the inside, it says, "My true name is yours."
Okay, well, I'm going to wipe this off and put it in my pocket.
My gut is pulling me towards the big metal door over there. That's why we came here, right? Was to find something that was like the basement that we were in.
That's true. Let's walk up and see if there's anything we can glean.
Yeah.
As you walk towards it, you hear the buzzing, all of you, amplified from this door. It certainly feels like a natural concluding point. But that other door stands next to it. It has the feeling of disgust that's emanating off of it.
DMs, if we look back the way we came in, can we still see the other? Like, could we go back into the fear room from here if we wanted to? Or is that gone now?
You look back and think about it. And in essence, by doing so, manifest it. The door reappears with the same sign on it that says, "Do not open, evil inside."
All right. Well, it seems like we could check out the disgust door. And then perhaps if we wanted to come back for this other door here.
Well, it might be useful information. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's do it.
You do so. You open the door of disgust and it's box seats.
an opera box, to be specific, with a single lonely seat that faces down onto a stage below. This time, playbills litter the room again, but these ones are torn up, and an untouched bar cart in the corner is stocked only with Clamato juice. And on the stage below, you see him, Bon Bon, in the midst of a moving aria, sweeping his hands elegantly as he effortlessly delivers a beautiful high note that sends the invisible crowd absolutely around the bend. They cheer, they throw roses. You think you hear one say, "Vlad could never."
Vlad could never.
I mean, yeah, that's devastating for sure.
God. Good to know. Good to know. Anybody want some Clamato?
I mean, not from here. like normally, yes, but not from this sad little scene here. No.
And without the rest of the ingredients, it just doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
It's a little bland.
Just drink tomato clams.
Tomato clams.
Tomato clams. The ones that live in tomato.
The tomato region.
They're only called clams if they're from the tomato region. That's right. Otherwise, they're just sparkling mussels.
Just sparkling mussels, they say. Oh,
that's what I call
some sparkling mussels for you.
Good God.
Well, should we take our sparkling mussels and go back the way we came?
If there's nothing else to see, then yes, I think we are fully armed.
Are you going back through the door? Because we could manifest the metal door in this room, too. Oh. This is a strange place of distorted physics.
I love that.
Okay.
Might as well, I think.
The metal door, you see it try to fit itself through the door you just came in, and it shrinks a little bit and then like curves around the corner of the door opening and slinks its way across the wall to be directly in front of you.
Hmm.
And the buzzing, it just echoes in this room. It's very loud. All of you can hear it.
Can you read the inscription for us one more time?
The inscription remains, and it says, "The worthy speak famous last words."
Famous last words. All right. Folks, I'm sure everything is going to be just fine. And then I go to open the door.
You open the door. Welcome back. Welcome back to Vlad's room. The smell of Dolce and Gabbana is overpowering. The ceiling's incredibly high, with a stained glass facade at the top this time, which pours dramatic lighting down onto the four-post bed below. Propped up on the Viridesia mattress, now doubled in size, sits an ornate, exquisite Draculean coffin 8 feet long. Opposite the bed, a large pipe organ sits atop a semicircular platform, and upon your first steps into the room, hundreds of red candles alight simultaneously. A ghostly chord is struck on the organ, and four goats step forward from behind it, walking slowly forward to greet you as, from the bed, the lid of the coffin cracks open and you behold him. Vlad manifested, a great deal more impressive than the version of him next to which you sleep in the real world, long blonde-haired, pencil-mustached, ruffle embellished and elaborately embroidered. Emerging from him at every angle are the golden threads, though they grow more tarnished, tangled, and ichor slick the closer to his body they are. An angular red electric guitar dangles from his neck, and as he takes it into his hands and prepares to rip out a nasty chord, you realize it is strung with the golden threads themselves.
Ooh.
And he says,
"Visitors, welcome to my haunted boudoir."
Roll initiative.
Oh, do you want to be in our band?
Yeah. Is that an SG man?
I got 15.
Dirty 20.
I got a 19.
Whoa.
Blah.
Yeah, there's Blad. A chorus of bleats.
Blad.
Blad.
Oh my god. That needs to be the episode title. Somehow we have to like spell that out phonetically.
Blad. Yeah.
Is the icon you've used for Vlad here, is this the Duke from Moulin Rouge?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Perfect. Good eye.
Yes, thank you for
Good eye.
The first goat is going to make moves toward you. It's going to step a couple feet forward, almost as though it's going to greet you. It puts one knee down. It bows its head, its red and black striped horns facing you. And then it raises it and expels a cone of fire. It's going to exhale fire in a 15-foot cone all over each of you, and all of you are going to have to make me a DC, a dexterity saving throw.
I got a nat 20.
I got a nat 20, too.
Oh, yeah. I got a nat 1.
Oh, my God.
Wow. On a nat 20, is it halved, or is it just...
Well, for Riot, because it's a dexterity saving throw, and she has evasion, she takes no damage.
Well, fuck.
As a rogue.
No damage for Riot.
Sick.
Crater, you take... half of the 14 fire damage. Celestine, you take the full 14 damage of fire.
We're very grateful for that temp HP at the moment.
And I'm actually going to take a quarter because I am fire resistant.
Yes.
It is so. Fire damage, yes.
Ha-ha.
And that is going to bring us to Celestine's turn.
All right. Celestine, who got the worst of that, is feeling pretty miffed.
Y'all need to chill out.
And is going to move up in front of the goat as close as I can get to the goats. And thinking about all the time that he just spent in Midmoss recently and summoning up that like chilly winter northern air casts cone of cold on, I think, fucking everybody.
Oh. You, Mr. Freeze, motherfucker.
Mr. Freeze. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. Oh my god.
Whatever. It gets everybody, right? Everybody in this little room?
Yeah.
Cone of cold. I haven't cast this before. Constitution saving throw for everybody.
I'll roll for Vlad.
I'll do goats, yes.
Ooh. Vlad rolled a nat 20, which becomes a 28.
Wow. Holy shit. Mm. Yeah, the first one to move rolled a nat 20, so that's a 22, and then a 9, a 20 dirty, and another dirty 20. So I think only one fails, and it will be the one that's closest to you aside from the one that had a turn. That's the one that failed.
All right, that was surprisingly low for 8d8 cold damage, but ooh, that is 28 damage on a fail. Half as much on the save.
Okay.
So 14 if you save. I love the cold. Twang!
Okay, fuck. Great. Cool, Celestine, literally.
That is, that's what I've got for this turn, I think. That's it.
So, Celestine, as you fire off that coldness and take a step back from your well-accomplished turn, something actually happens within this haunted boudoir. In the corner, the organ starts playing itself. Like, lets out this nasty, disharmonious tune. And I'm going to have everybody make me a wisdom saving throw.
21 for Celestine.
Mm-hmm. 14 for Riot.
Oh, that's a 5.
Oh, wow. Celestine, you cover your ears in time, but Riot and Crater, it almost like, it feels like it should crack the walls itself, and it's shaking the room. And for those who failed, we're going to do 15 psychic damage.
Oof.
And half if he saved. And that will bring us to Crater's turn. And I will say that Vlad looked quite satisfied with that organ riff.
I am deeply satisfied with that organ riff.
Bonbon could have done better.
What did you say?
I just said Bonbon could have done better. I don't know. It was a nice organ riff and all, but that's not terribly original.
Make an insight check.
That is 24.
Vlad is shaken when you bring up a piece of his manifestations. You can tell that something in him changed when you brought it up. Although, as you did it at the end of his turn, he sort of shakes it off and focuses now on Crater, whose turn it is.
First things first, Crater's gonna jump into a rage. going to do my slinky arm ability. Since I'm kind of at the back of this pack here, I'm going to use my bestial soul. I'm going to avoid the rest of these goats. And I'm just going to run up the walls of this room and get to the ceiling and run over towards Vlad. And when I'm directly on top of him, I'm just going to drop from the ceiling with my great axe in my hand. And
yeah.
I'm going to take a swipe at him as I'm falling.
Unbelievable.
Actually, I'm going to take a swipe with my slinky arms rather than my great axe.
Oh, interesting.
All right, and I'm going to make it recklessly. So I'm going to do this at advantage. That's going to be an 18 to hit. Sorry, 19 to hit.
It misses. You watch as you go to hit and the threads sort of manifest in front of you and they take a brunt of the hit.
Oh boy. Okay.
What are you doing here?
Came to steal your wedding ring, man.
What? Who are you?
Dude, I'm serious. We stole your wedding ring. We're gonna pawn it off for like what? Like 2 gold? It's probably pretty cheap, right?
Who dare you?
The goats angrily have a chorus of Vlad.
And I'm gonna take my second attack with my slinky arm. That was a fucking nat 20.
Ow. Yes. Oh. Holy shit.
Make a wisdom saving throw for me, please.
Okay.
Whiz.
Ooh. 9.
That's a fail. Sorry, this is going to be big.
This is going to be big.
I also have brutal critical now. So
oh my God.
I'm going to add an extra die. And a superiority die. And
fuck.
That's going to be 48 damage total.
What?
Oh my gosh. Holy shit.
We love it.
And
48?
48. Yeah, and 20 of that was psychic.
Okay. Really? Really cool.
I'm just going to step back away from Vlad 5 feet.
Okay, because I guess you want to take him to take the opportunity attack?
I mean, if he wants to.
Okay.
He's stupid.
All right, well, he may or may not be stupid, and he is going to take an opportunity attack against you as you move away. And it's a 24 to hit.
Okay, yeah, that hits. Never mind. I was stupid.
Okay. Crater, you are going to take 20 slashing damage, half to 10, and 5 necrotic damage.
Okay.
And as it hits you, it's his long sword. He impales you. You are now grappled on it.
Oh.
No.
God.
And as this impaling happens, you notice that, like, the threads are winding through the guitar, around the hilt of the sword, around Vlad, just sort of warding him. And he says, both in his voice and in a voice that is now intimately familiar to you, especially Riot, combined, they say,
"They're happy to give me their true names. They're dying for it."
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.